264.
Yeah, that's what I think it is too. And if I would see it.
Page or song?
Hymn number.
What, I don't recall what hymn my man used, but.
Is that two?
I think that's a minor, you know.
Well, we can't, we got a tune, well, let's get something else. Let's turn to page 124 and sing three verses of that, High Farm Foundation. First three verses.
How firm a foundation ye saints of the Lord is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? You are his forevermore in every condition and sickness in health. In poverty, veil, or bounding and wealth. At home and abroad, on the land, on the sea. As thy days may demand, shall thy strength ever be. Fear not, I am with thee, oh, be not dismayed. I am thy God, and will still give thee aid. I will strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand. Thou, my righteous one, in abundant hand.
As we drove along this morning, we began to talk about the one of the foolish things, really they are. And most of those who have not been born of spirit, born again, that they give an entirely different interpretation as to what their doctrine is. And those who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God can very easily tell that their doctrine is different from what Jesus preached, what the apostles preached, and what things are laid down in the scriptures by the writings of the apostles and in the gospel. And I've turned to that this morning. It's something that I often refer to, and I'm sure you recognize it readily. The Lord is pleased to give me some light and liberty. I feel like I'd like to talk about some of those things, and if blessed, to show the difference between those who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, that they are given to believe differently from what others do. Those who have been brought out of darkness know that they were not brought out by any work of their own, nor by thought, by taking thought to bring themselves into the doctrine of God our Savior. But those who have not been brought out of darkness are of necessity, are still in darkness, and they cannot possibly bring themselves out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. This scripture, there's a few verses here in the 6th chapter of John, the Gospel according to John. I'll read a little bit of that, and then, as the Lord may direct, give some remarks on the subject. In the 44th verse, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Back to the 37th verse, one that I have so very often quoted, "All that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me, or cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Now, we believe and we understand by teaching the Spirit of God that the Scriptures were written by inspiration. In other words, they were inspired from heaven by the Father of lights and by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and by His Spirit, as we may understand these three of one. And whatever they wrote came from God, came from heaven in that sense. And we have no idea, no desire whatsoever to make any changes in them, regardless of how differently others, even of our good friends, cannot see. But whatever seemed right to the natural man, that is the interpretation that he puts upon the Scriptures. But those who have been brought out of darkness into this marvelous light that we talk about so much, and the Scriptures are full of it, those who have been exercised of the Spirit of God, they understand the Scriptures to teach things quite differently from what many, many people believe. And there's no way for those who do not understand the teaching of the Scriptures to know that they're right, or whether they're right or wrong, until and unless the Spirit of God speaks in their hearts and opens up to their understanding the very things that are laid down in the Scriptures. Now, there's nothing in the Scriptures of any double meaning, if you will understand what I mean about it. Now, when I read the first, says, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day," I don't see how that anybody could interpret that or make it to read, "All men can come unto me and the Lord will save them." That is exactly what is preached, even when they refer to this scripture. And not only that, but when they refer to this 37 verses I read, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now it is commonly thought and believed that God has issued an invitation to the whole Adam family, and they say that God will save all of the Adam family if they will believe, if they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ and do it publicly, or do it in some way that they are not mistaken, but what they are exercising their own wills and their own feelings, and feel like that the Lord has just given them an invitation to come, and if they will come, then all shall be well. But no man can come unto me, this is Jesus speaking, except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now let us look to the Lord in the word of prayer. Now, Father, we come before thee this morning, desiring to give thee thanks for the multitude of thy blessings which thou hast bestowed upon thy people in every age of the world. We thank thee that thou hast brought us, a few of us, together this morning, whom we do feel to realize that thou hast taught to know the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. We come desiring to worship thee in spirit and in truth. As Jesus said, those that worship the Father must worship him in spirit and in truth. And, O Lord, if it is thy will to speak in our hearts this morning, draw in the wanderings of our minds from the vain, foolish, perishing things of this life. Center them upon the things which thou hast revealed in thy word, and subsequently in the hearts of thy people, so that we believe the scriptures that are laid down, and the holy man of old wrote as thou didst move them. Lord, be with us this day, that we might understand and rejoice to feel that thou hast revealed in our hearts these wonderful and glorious things, and that it is not because of what we have done or can do, or have an invitation to do, but rather that we know and feel the working of thy mighty power and thy spirit in the hearts of thy people. For we know, Lord, if thou hast not quickened us, we would never have known that we would end in sin, except that thou hast brought us out of darkness, we would never have known that we were in darkness. And so we thank thee, Father, for the wonderful and glorious things that thou hast revealed to us. And we pray thee, if it is thy will, that thou wilt cause that we shall not follow after any wind of doctrine, or every wind of doctrine, but rather follow as thou dost lead in all the way, following thee, preaching Jesus and him crucified, and rejoicing in that hope of eternal life that thou hast given thy people, O Lord, when thou broughtest them out of darkness into thy marvelous light. We pray thee to look upon these few of us, O Lord. We're all here. We realize we're all here according to thy will. And it is thy will to stir up our pure mind by way of remembrance of these things that thou hast taught us, so that whether we are few or many, that we might be blessed to contend earnestly for thy faith that thou hast once delivered to thy saints. O Lord, be thou with us, therefore, and speak in our hearts, so that we shall not be concerned about how few we are, but rather concerned about, O Lord, how good thou hast been unto us few that we be, giving us to realize and to hope, and the assurance that thou didst arrest us and began a work in our hearts, so that thou didst make us to realize and to thank thee that thou didst bring us out of that darkness into that marvelous light and gave us hope in Jesus, who died for the people that the Father had given him, and who has made it manifest while thy people live in this world from the beginning to end. Make it manifest that thou hast loved thy people with an everlasting love, and that thou wilt cause them to come out of darkness and cause them to rejoice that thou hast brought them out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, and to know the difference between those who trusted their own works and we who have worked out of all of our self-righteousness and find that we have nothing of our own, but we are by the grace of God. That is what we are. Lord, be with us for the journey of this life. Remember our families. Remember our children. Remember thy people, wherever they may be, scattered as they are throughout the whole world. And cause that we may come, O Lord, humbly worshiping, speaking the truth in Jesus Christ, worshiping thee as we humbly hope thou shalt enable us in spirit and in truth. Father, be with us. While we live, save us in death. We beg for Christ's sake. Amen. Well, it's a little bit hard for me in my feelings to start this morning, because I know that all we know about the truth is what the Lord has revealed in our hearts, and all that those who have not had the revelation in their hearts, all they believe, at least that's all they can believe, is what seems good in their sight, and they freely believe that they can accept the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they will accept him and do certain things that they said is necessary, then all shall be well. But those who have been brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God, they know that they were brought out. They did not come out by their own will or work, but they were brought out by the irresistible Spirit of God. And everyone that has been brought out will realize all the days of the years of their lives, not all the time. They will realize that God did something for them that they couldn't do for themselves. God did something through His Spirit working in their hearts to know that they were dead in sin but couldn't do anything about it. Now, they know that we were not invited to believe, but the Lord who has quickened us, He quickens us, and because He has quickened us, we know that we were dead in sins but didn't know it before. But He quickened us to that knowledge, to the truth that we were dead in sins, and that we were at that time following after all the doctrines of the world and didn't know it. We felt like it was all right. But when He quickened us, we were given to see, to realize that we were just following after those who never felt the quickening power of the Spirit of God in their hearts, and neither had we, until the Lord spoke, quickened us. Now we go back. I like to go back and talk about Peter, James, and John, and Paul, and especially when I think about it, to talk about what the Lord did for the apostle, Paul, Saul of Tarsus, because we know that it wasn't by his work that the Lord received him or spoke unto him because of what he was, what he was doing, because he was in opposite, taking care of everything he thought was necessary to take care of, which was in opposition to what Jesus of Nazareth preached. to what those are the Lord's servants preach. And he was determined to get rid of that. He didn't want it no more than those who today have not been quickened but are yet in darkness. They don't want anything else but what they have. But until and unless, notice that, until and unless the Lord speaks in the heart and quickens them so that they know that they were dead in trespasses and in sin, as he did Saul of Tarsus. Now, Saul didn't know that. We didn't know that. But we mistake it not that when the Lord begins a work in us, he always finishes that work. He doesn't invite any of his people to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, as the world would have us to believe, because they feel that, as the apostle wrote that, work out your own salvation fear and trembling. For it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do. Now that's such a plain statement there, but I don't see how anybody can mistake it. I don't see how anybody that claims at all that he even knows the name of Jesus and what he preached, they claim to know that, but they don't know it until that mighty work of the Spirit of God takes place in their hearts. Now, the apostle wrote all these things, the things that he believed that the Lord had revealed to him in his heart, revealed to him, and that he rejoiced to know that there was a work going on in him that wasn't produced by his carnality. No, not that. Ben Contradenti would say in his writings of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now, anybody that can read the English language or any other language speaking of these things, they will understand that the Lord begins the work. He doesn't invite anybody to begin it. He doesn't invite anybody to accept him. No, not that. But he sends forth his Spirit into the hearts of those that he loved, those that he gave to his Son before the world began, and to nobody else. He sends that into the hearts and quickens them. You hath he quickened who were dead. Yes, dead. And I defy anybody, if it's not necessary to go that strong, but it is not absolutely not possible for anybody that's dead to act upon their own volition and bring themselves to life, even though the death he's talking about is death in trespasses and in sins. But nobody can even understand that until the Spirit of the Lord is revealed in the hearts. And being confident, he said of this very thing, that he that has begun a good work in you. Now, he didn't say a good work in himself, but he, meaning, of course, the Spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that he's the one that began the good work in you. He is the only one. He is the only one that can reveal and bring his people out of darkness into that marvelous light. And yet everyone that he loved before the world began, the Father gave to his Son, he brings them out. Every one of them, the last one of them, whether they be this one or that one, whether they be black or white or any other color, any other nation, that were chosen by God the Father in his Son Jesus Christ before the world began, they know when the Spirit speaks, it stands them up, shall I say, and causes them to wonder, what is this that I feel now that shows me that I've been a sinner all my life and I didn't know it before? Yes, yes. So it said here, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. There is a drawing power by the Father. And to everyone that the Father gave Son Jesus Christ, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. I hear it and you hear it, and it's time that we who hear these things would say that this is the work of the Lord. This is the work of the Lord. Yes, and no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me, except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Now the man standing, I standing here and invite somebody to come up and receive this or ask for a home in the church, that wouldn't do a bit of good in the world. It takes an inward spirit. It takes a love of God which began in eternity and goes all the way through this mortal life that we live here in this world. If we are one for whom Jesus Christ died, then we are brought some time in the Lord's time to see ourselves as what we really were and what we had been practicing, if we were practicing anything at all, feeling like that we were doing God's service and we were doing the very best we know how, and we thought that we knew how and we thought we were doing right and that was it. But just as soon as the Spirit of God stands one of the little ones of the Father has chosen in Christ before the world began, he stands him up, shall I say, and he reveals to him, he draws his attention and makes him to see and to realize that I had been attempting these things and I didn't know what I was doing. Yes, there was no drawing power before this time, but now there is a drawing power. It says, and no man can come to me except the Father would send me to draw him. Now, there's no drawing to this. Somebody say, come on in. All you got to do is come up, give your hand to the... They used to say, I haven't heard that lately, but give your hand to the preacher and believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But that's just what they mean, because they believe that God has offered. Through the Spirit, he's offered salvation to every human being. But he hasn't, my friends and brethren. You can't find it in the Scriptures where he's offered salvation to everybody, because it says, no man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. Now, he doesn't draw out anybody. He has the power. He speaks to the very dead in trespasses and in sins. He brings them to see what they are in the flesh and causes them to cry aloud, Lord, have mercy upon me, poor sinner. I don't know. I don't like to get into this thought of as I am into it to put it a little way this morning, because I know I want everybody, every human being, to worship just as he sees fit to worship, which seems right to him. I'm not going to quarrel with him. I'm not going to tell him, if you better turn over and you leave and do otherwise. No, not that. I can't do that. But I believe, my brethren, that the Lord knows his people. And he sends his Spirit into their hearts, bringing them out of that darkness that we were in. Sometimes it's spoken of a darkness in Egypt. So dark there in Egypt. Darkness because we did not know the truth. Anything would be all right with us if we didn't know the truth. But when the Lord speaks in your heart, he brings you to the sea, yourselves as a vile, hell-deserving sinner. Yes, except my Father which sent me, draw him. He doesn't, I believe I said, he doesn't draw at you. He doesn't do that, but there's such a power in him that he opens up our eyes, the eyes of our understanding. He opens it up to see, for us to see and to rejoice in the fact. And I believed one time that I could go and be saved if I wanted to. That's what everybody says that are exercised in these things from a natural carnal standpoint. I was told, as I've sometimes told you, that they taught me when I was a boy going to school, some school, that Jesus Christ came to the cross. He died upon the cross. He came there to save the sins, to save every man who would accept him. That was a doctrine. But my brethren, that isn't the truth of it. He didn't come there to save everybody that would accept it. Because, let us think of this for a moment. A dead man or a dead woman, dead person, can't exercise at all. We are dead in trespasses and in sin, so far as we have any understanding of these things at all, before we're quickened, we're dead. There's no power in us whatsoever that we can exercise ourselves in to quicken ourselves. No, but we have to stand still, and we do stand still, until that voice from heaven speaks that he is my beloved son, hear ye him. And he speaks in the heart. And when he speaks to you and brings you to see what a vile sinner you are, you stand in wonderment. And wonderment that I have been trying to worship God from a natural standpoint, from my own way of doing things, which I thought was right. But now I was exactly wrong, you would say, because the Lord draws his people. Yes. I told this here not too long ago, I suppose, that I was on a train coming in from Philadelphia one time, and I picked up a folder that was there, and somebody left it in the seat, and I began to read it, and I found it said that Jesus Christ has done all he can for you, and the sisters have done all they can for you. Now it's just up to you. But what kind of doctrine is that? What kind of a savior is that? That isn't the one who speaks in the heart and makes us to realize what vile, hell-deserving sinners we are. But it makes us to stand still, brethren, as you know, because the power of the Godhead surrounds his people when he brings them out of darkness into the marvelous light. Yes. And he brings everyone that he chose in his son Jesus Christ, he brings him out of that darkness into the marvelous light. He doesn't overlook any one of them, but he brings them all out because he loves every one of them, and he gave them to his son Jesus Christ. And not only that, but he sent his son Jesus Christ here into this world for the specific purpose of redeeming all the Father had given him, the Son, from all their sins and all their iniquities. And they are taught to know the truth, and the truth shall make them free. Nothing else will do, but the Spirit of our God makes us free from self-righteousness, free from self-works, because they all vanish when he speaks in the heart, and we do all that we can heretofore. And when we come to the very end, all we can do ourselves is still, I must believe, I must accept him. But when he speaks in the heart, causes us to fall down before him and to beg for mercy, then we realize that it isn't anything we are or have been doing or can do at all, but all that the Father has given me shall come unto me. And we're given that hope, we're given that experience, that we understand and believe and rejoice in the fact when we've heard the voice of the Father speak, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yes, he didn't say come unto me everybody that wants to do it, but you, there is a laboring. Yes, a laboring. Come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Come unto me. Yes. Deep voice, his voice speaks with power, and it brings you out of darkness into that marvelous light. And we should not forget, my friends and brethren, if the Lord has taught us, we must not forget that he has loved us with an everlasting love. Not just at the moment of the time that we were exercised and being brought out of darkness into the marvelous light of the Son of God. No, but he brings us out of those things, and he gives us grace. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, Jesus said. I have loved them with an everlasting love. No man can come unto me except my Father which sent me draw him. But don't forget, my brother, that the power of God, the power of our Savior, the power of the Holy Spirit of our God speaks and is done. There's not a person in all the world that can say no. And and reject what the Spirit is saying. Saul of Tarsus would have rejected it if he could, but it was so strong that he fell to the earth and even asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" And so, my brethren, are these things, all that the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. Now, they told me, I know what I'm talking about here, because I heard them when I was a boy, and saying, "You better accept Jesus now. The time is getting late. You better do it now. Tomorrow may be too late." Well, what kind of a God is that? What kind of a God is that has to wait and can't do what is his purpose to do until he has the permission of poor, hell-deserving sinners? He is not a God at all. When he says here, "All that the Father hath given me, they shall come unto me," there's no power. There's not enough devils in the world to keep one that the Spirit has spoken to and keep him from going. But because there's a drawing power. There's a drawing power that makes them come and causes them to come and makes them to rejoice and to know full well that I had tried this and I failed. But now there's something else. I know you remember, my friend. You remember the time when the Lord spoke in your heart and what a difference it was when you understood that he was speaking to you, poor sinner that you were, and that you didn't know it, you were really a dead sinner, but he spoke and you immediately realized what a dead sinner you were. And it's impossible for you to do anything that would put you in favor with God. Nothing that a fleshly man can do to bring God into under obligations to him. No, but God loved his people, every one of them. He chose them in Christ before the world began. Jesus said, "I came to do not mine own will, but the will of the Father that sent me." And this is the Father's will that sent me. Of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing. So in spite of our wearing discouragements, different things like that, in spite of all of these things that we feel, maybe sometimes we wonder about it, am I mistaken? Was that an experience of grace, as I like to call it, and the brethren love to call it? Was that the Lord speaking in the heart, and we felt that he had mercy, pity, compassion? If you felt that, and you received a hope of eternal life, well, that means that he has redeemed you from all your sins, all your iniquities, and he's so worked that he's given his people an everlasting salvation, so that all that the Father hath given me shall come unto me, and he that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. What a terrible thing would be, my brethren, if he left, if he put another thing down here. But my brethren, be careful, you might fall. You might fall from grace. That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? It would be a terrible thing, but what a blessed thing it is when the Father speaks in the heart. He speaks with power. He speaks with authority. He brings us out of darkness into the marvelous light, and we see for the first time that salvation is totally, solely by the grace of God and not by a mixture of works and a mixture of grace. No, not that. The Lord doesn't have anything to give to sinners for their accepting him. No. But he gives them grace. I'm trying to think for saying the old Elder Jesse used to say that it suited me. All right, but I can't get it together, so I won't attempt it. But he said the Lord doesn't swap grace for men's works. That's the substance of it. But he doesn't do that. But God, who loved his people, I believe that he has his watchful eye over all of his people from time before the world began, because when a special time comes, he sends forth his Spirit into the heart of every one of those. In the fullness of time, he sent Jesus here, who was made of the woman, born of the brought into the world, he sent Jesus in the fullness of time. So in the fullness of time, every one of the Lord's people are brought out of darkness that they were in into the marvelous light of the Son of God. And it gives you hope of eternal life, gives you hope, gives you assurance, which hope is the anchor of the soul, as Paul said, you know. And so, and not to be too lengthy, too tedious, all that the Father given me shall come to me. Not a one of them going to be left out. He's not going to, he does not wait for somebody to come up and hear somebody say, come up here and give your hand to God and accept him. Say, Jesus, I accept you. Oh, that's the most terrible thing I ever heard tell of. The trouble of it is, my brethren, the important part is, has the Lord accepted me? That's what I worry about. That's what I think about. But sometimes it so speaks and is so present, so powerful, I'm just assured for the moment that it was the Lord that spoke to me back some 50, 60 years ago. And I was brought out of darkness into that light and given the hope of eternal life when I had been trying to work out my own way. And I failed. Hell would be my doom. But the Lord knows his people. And if you have ever had, my friends and brethren, the working of the Spirit of God in your heart, bringing you to see that you are the vilest creature that ever lived in the world, and to confess that I'm not worthy of the Lord's notice, not worthy at all, then in the ultimate end of that matter is, he will speak peace in your heart and in your soul, and you will find John said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Isn't he a wonderful God, my brethren? He is the only true and the living God, the maker and creator of all things. He never made a mistake. He never forgotten anything. Everything is working on scheduled time. I love to use that doctrine of those words. I love to think about that everything takes place just exactly the right time, the right place. Accomplishes just exactly what the Father has in everything that he brings to pass in this life. Now that's a sovereign God. That's what you believe, that's what I believe. The sovereignty of God saw that all the things that was in the eternal purpose of our God before the world began, they today are coming to pass one after the other, one after the other, so that when the whole matter wound up, all that the Father had determined before the world began, that has been brought to pass so that his work, it is said, known unto God are all of his works from the beginning. Do we believe that? We certainly do. All of his works, he knows them all from the beginning. And he is the only true God. We know he's God because he brought us down low in this experience. Now this is what I call experience of grace. This way that the Lord brings his people, speaks to them, brings them out of darkness. And when we put the whole matter together, it's an experience of grace, experiencing that the Lord has loved his people, the individual. He loved them with an everlasting love. That's the experience. I don't hear anybody else talking about an experience of grace. I don't know whether it is because they don't know what the term would mean or whether they've never felt it or not. But I'm fully persuaded, my brethren, that when the Lord speaks in the heart of a poor sinner, he first makes him to realize that he is dead in sins. Yes, and then he, at the proper time, absolutely on time, he speaks in the heart, brings peace and joy, and then's the only time you can ever be able to give, the first time, I'd rather say, that you can give God all the praise, the honor, and the glory, because he's brought you out of that darkness into the marvelous light. And so if you ever hear anybody talking about that anybody can come, Jesus wants everybody to come, why, he doesn't know what he's talking about. because Jesus himself here, John, writing by inspiration, he says, no man can come unto me except the Father which sent me draw him. Now, he doesn't draw at you. He doesn't draw, and it's not quite strong enough to slip through his finger, not that. But he overcomes every opposition that the flesh can put out and would say, I'm not fit. And we'd glad to say those things, we're not fit. And yet the Lord makes us fit, brethren, and we rejoice because he speaks in our hearts, gives us grace for our needs, gives us hope of eternal life, which hope we have as the anchor of our soul while we live in this world. Brethren, may the Lord be with you. He will be with you. I feel to realize that he will, but that is my desire, that the Lord will be with me, with you, with few, but we're not any fewer, then the Lord knows all about us. Let us turn to hymn number, I can't tell, it's the last, it's now to thy praise, eternal King. Somebody look that up, I can't quite see that fine print. I believe it's 418, but I'm not sure.
418 is correct.
418, all right. All right, that's fine. Now, my brethren, I feel that realizing what the Lord has done for us, that we surely desire above everything else in the world to give him thanks and praise and honor and glory. What page was it?
168.
Oh. 'To thy praise, eternal King, may all my thoughts employ, while of his precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroy. Oft the united powers of hell my soul have sore annoyed, and yet I live this truth to tell, cast down but not destroy. In all the paths through which I passed, what mercies I've enjoyed, and this shall be my song at last, cast down but not destroyed. When I in heaven with God appear, there shall I him adore. Destroyed shall be my sin and fear, and I cast down no more. Let us stand and sing.
You want to repeat them?
Yes, if you will. I like that.
Now to thy praise, eternal King, be all my thoughts employed, while of his precious truth I sing, cast down but not destroy. Cast
Kindness, long-suffering to us, Lord. We fail to realize and confess that we're not worthy of thy notice, and yet thou hast done great things for us. Whereof we're glad. Thou hast led us unto this good hour. We have this confidence that thou wilt never leave nor forsake us, but be with us through all of our trials, tribulations in this life. Father, be with thy people everywhere, wherever they are. Speak in their hearts that they may rejoice and know that their Savior lives. Lord, we pray thee for Jesus.